Certainly our prayers go out to Deacon Oliver, and contrary to what companies and CEOs say, bereavement doesn't stop in 3 days, even though they give you 3 days off. So we thank God for Deacon Oliver, and we pray for him and Brother Mike Venable and their losses. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue with our sixth church. We took a break last week. And we talked about an honorable man, a man more honorable than Jabez, and that was our Father's Day message. This week we're going to look at the sixth church and the seven spoken of in Revelation, the Church of Philadelphia. And that's found in Revelation chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 8 through 13. Talk about this faithful church. Let's all stand as we read the scriptures, the holy scriptures. Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 13. Amen. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things say he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. And has kept my word, and has not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And him that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit say unto the church. Amen. Father God, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we thank you. Father God, we thank you for the little strength that you've given us. Father God, we ask that you would just give us just enough to continue to press toward the mark of the high calling of God. Father God, we ask right now that you would just give an ear to all those that are here, to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to this church. It's in Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Church of Philadelphia. And we know from our great city of Philadelphia, that word name really means the city of brotherly love. Supposed to be. I do some research on Philadelphia, and now whole lot of murdering going on in Philadelphia. The name Philadelphia comes from the brothers, two brothers, one named Attalus. And Attalus was the younger brother, and the older brother was the king. And the older brother went on a journey, and it was reported that he had died while he was on the journey. So the younger brother came up and took over as king. Well, word came back that the older brother was not dead and had came back into the city and was to take over his kingship. Now, back in that day, when a king was named king, it was something that he never gave up. And most kings we know from Herod, they would kill their own brothers to be kings. And when this brother showed back up, everyone watched to see what Atlas would do. And Atlas humbly surrendered the kingship back to his brother because of the love that he had for his brother. Thus the name Philadelphia. Amen. Well, we need that kind of love among the brethren. We need that kind of love among the brothers. Listen at verse 7. We're going to go through this text, and this is the sixth church. And again, the letter was written to the pastors of these different churches. So the church of Philadelphia was 25 miles east of Sardis, and Sardis was the last church that we talked about prior to Father's Day. And the church of Philadelphia most likely knew that God or in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ was coming to visit in each church. And he was writing a letter explaining the spiritual condition of the church. Only the church of Smyrna was without fault. When we look at Smyrna back in chapter 2, verse number 8, and it says, "Unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write these things, which say the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, thy tribulation, thy poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan." There's that word again. But God had nothing bad to say about Smyrna. As a matter of fact, Smyrna was considered the persecuted church, and we talked about that. And a persecuted church is a growing church. Maybe not always in numbers, but to grow spiritually is worth more than any amount of souls that you can have in a building. The church of Philadelphia was a growing church. And when the angel of the church of Philadelphia, he writes, "These things say he that is holy." Mm-hmm. And as Isaiah 6, we met this holy God a while back. And God is describing himself. And he did this in every one of the churches. He describes himself as someone who's watching over the church. Now we look at Isaiah 6. King Uzziah had died. Isaiah had walked into the throne room. And he says, "I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." Now, God has described himself to this church of Philadelphia as a holy God. Now, I'm watching this church. He said, "I'm watching this church, and I'm watching the members of this church." And then it says in verse 2 of Isaiah 6, he said, "And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly." And they described this God that they served that was watching, not only the churches, watching all his creation. Mm-hmm. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Amen. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, this is Isaiah, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." And that's as far as I'm going to go. But when this pastor of this church, this angel as he called, had heard this message from the Lord, that I'm here to judge your church. Or I'm here to explain to you what your church is doing. I could imagine this pastor just trembling. Oh, we want to be a good church and we want to be a faithful church. But to be judged by the one that say he is not, he is holy, but he's not only holy, he is true. We serve a God that's not only holy, but we serve a God that is true. And if we was true to ourselves and we ask God to examine us, as we will next week when we do communion, we'll say, examine us. Judge us. Test us. And this is what this letter is saying. The one that is holy, the one that is true, is going to test you. Amen. It's going to look into your world. It's going to look into your thought life. It's going to look into those places where only God can look. So we can be good at hiding stuff from each other. But we are an open book to God. And God knows our true heart condition. And he is holy. And he is true. And he will judge all that says they are holy. He will judge all of us that pray unto God, that say we are the children of God. When we say we are the children of God, we are saying, God, judge us. Test us. Show us where we're weak at. And God is coming to this church. And he's asking, and he's saying, I'm going to show you. And I'm going to test you. Listen to what he says. He said, not only that he's holy and that he's true and identifying himself, he said, he also have the key of David.
Yes.
Now, we know that anyone that has ever lost their keys or locked them in their cars or locked them in their houses, what a horrible feeling. What a horrible thought to be standing outside the Southern Park Mall looking in your ignition and seeing your keys. He that is holy, he that is true, he that have the key of David. And he's coming to David. David was considered the messianic king. And to say that he had the keys of David meant that he had all power.
Yeah.
He had power to open doors and power to shut them. And this is what he says in verse 7. He said, he that opens, oh, God has opened a great door. If you're saved in here, you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God has opened a great door for you to come in. And what he's saying, and no man can shut you out. If God has opened a door for you, no man can stop you from walking through that door. Because he's that kind of God. And he said, he that opened it, and no man shut it. No man can come to you and say, you really aren't saved. Or you really aren't going to heaven. Or you really don't know what you're talking about. Because God has opened this door. And this is the door to your heart. Oh, we was young. I remember being young. We'd say, oh, you have the key to my heart. What you're actually telling a person is that you can come and go as you want. Some of us give a key to our home. We value that. But when we give someone the key to our home, basically what you're saying is you can come whenever you want. Stay as long as you want. Leave when you want. We need to be careful about that. We need to be careful who we give keys to. See, I know some of these celebrities that come to town and the mayor give them the key to the city. We got to be careful who we give the keys to. Listen to what he says. He said, and he have the key of David. And he that opened it, no man shut it, and no man can open it. To have the key to have power. We serve a sovereign God. He has full power over this church.
Yes.
Amen.
We are called, I am called the under shepherd. I take directions straight from the Lord. I have no right to stand here and preach anything other than the word of God. Because I am and will be judged on what I preach, how I live, how I carry myself around the saints of God. Not only that, he says to this church, he said, I know thy works. There ain't no hidden agendas in here. God knows thy works. And somebody said, well, what is thy works? Let's look at 1 Thessalonians. We studied this all summer, last year, summer. Thessalonians was a great church. God called it a great church. Paul called it a great church. And Paul says, talking to them about their work, 1 Thessalonians 5, he's saying, in verse 4, he said, knowing, brothers, beloved, your election of God. I just want to talk about these works. In verse 5, he said, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power. God knows how much power you have. He said, but the gospel came not only in power, and in the Holy Ghost. Did you get the Holy Ghost when you got saved? I know I've been talking about the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, but to get saved, you need this power. And this power comes in the person of the Holy Ghost. And when you get the power of the Holy Ghost, it comes in much assurance. The Holy Ghost will assure you. It'll give you assurance of who you are in Christ. It'll let you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that something's changed. You will look at 2 Corinthians 5:17 and say, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. When you come into the power and the assurance of the Holy Ghost, something has to happen to you. He says, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. Then something else happens. These are all your works. And he said, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. Oh, when you come to the Lord, when you receive the Holy Spirit, or you recognize that God is real in your life, there's affliction. There's some things you may be doing right now that you got to make right. You got to say, well, listen, now that I've come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, I can't continue like this. I got to make this situation right. Or I have to walk away from this situation. Or I have to get myself together here. Because there's going to be affliction. There's going to be affliction because, see, sin don't want to leave you. Sin wants to hang on you. And when you come to the Holy Ghost, something has to give. Something has to give. Oh, that pride will come down. You can't walk around here haughty and prideful and say, I'm full of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says not to be unequally yoked. 2 Corinthians 6:14. We're not to be unequally yoked. So you say you are a man of God and all your friends are heathens. There's going to be affliction there. Because the Holy Ghost is going to say, well, listen, if you're running with them, I'm going to stay back. You're just not going to take the Holy Ghost everywhere. You agree with it, but there will be affliction. Listen what it says. And he said, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word of God in much affliction, because when the Holy Spirit stepped into your mess, he started cleaning house. Oh, we know the story about Zacchaeus, and he was in the sycamore tree, and God stepped into his mess. God looked up and said, Zacchaeus, make haste. For today, I must abide in your house. And Zacchaeus didn't have a cell phone. He couldn't call home and say, clean up, get all them number slips, hide all them beer bottles and wine bottles, and put my pornographic magazines under the bed. God stepped into his mess. God stepped into his mess. And when God stepped in, he said, there's affliction here. And Zacchaeus immediately, Luke 19, Zacchaeus immediately started cleaning up. If I owe a person this much, if I stole from this person, if I need to forgive here, if I need to call her, or I need to call him. This was a good church. This was a good church. This church in Philadelphia is a good church, but this church in Thessalonians was a good church. Listen to what it says. Verse 7. And so they became examples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. They became examples to the whole region where they were at. Listen to verse 8. I'm going to keep reading this because it's so good. For from you, this is what Paul is saying, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord. What's sounding out from you? What's sounding out from you? When you start talking, what comes out of you? Listen, verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering we had unto you. By what's coming out of you, showing what effect God has on you. By what comes out of you, shows what effect the Holy Spirit has had on your life. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. Don't miss this. In how ye turned. That word turn means repentance.
Yes.
On how you turn to God from idols. See, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you have to turn from something. You have to turn from something. They turn to God from idols. Not only from idols, but to serve the living and true God. Oh, I just thank God for a church like this that knows how to serve. Jesus Christ, if you're following Jesus Christ, you're going to be a servant.
Yeah.
Jesus even said himself, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. So when we look back at Revelation chapter 3, we see this church had great works. And Thessalonians was just an example, but they had great works. He said, I know thy works. That's what he said. I know thy works. Then he says, behold, I have nothing bad to say about you guys. Ain't that wonderful? He said, I have nothing to say about the way you guys are ministering in your community. I wish God could say that about this church.
Amen.
Oh, I wish he could say about the church on the east side, the west side, the north side, Borman, Canfield, Austintown, Poland. The church ought to be making an impact.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
On the communities. This church was making an impact.
Yes, sir.
And he said, behold.
Behold.
Not like Ephesus. See, Ephesus had lost their first love. They started off strong. Then they died out. Then you had the church of Thyatira, and it started off strong. And then they started ordaining women. And they had women teaching men. That's a bad combination in God's eyes, because God said, I am a God of order. He said, God is head of man. And man is head of woman. That's God's word. We serve a God of order. And so when women start standing in the pulpit and telling men what to do, oh, we got problems. See, because when they was in the garden, and they was in the garden, and there was problems in the garden. They was in the garden, they had some problems. And when God hollered out, he said, Adam. He said, Adam. He didn't say Lori. He didn't say Cindy. He didn't say Ann. That's what he said.
Amen.
He said, Jeremy.
Amen.
He said, Joseph.
Amen.
Look around here. Roy.
Yeah.
Where are you? Your house a mess. Your house a mess. That's the kind of God we serve. Thyatira had it messed up. Pergamos served the gods of Balaam and the Nicolaitans. We talked about those. They started off good. Deacon Oliver asked me today. He said, Reverend Neil, one day somebody gonna offer you a whole lot of money to preach. What you gonna do? They ain't gonna offer you money to preach. They gonna offer you money to shut up. That's how I took it. I don't know what I think. That's what he meant. Somebody may offer you a whole lot of money to shut up. Just to preach on good stuff. Stop preaching that Bible. Preach on the five love languages. I heard a preacher say that. We're going to be, for the next 10 weeks, we're going to be preaching out of this book called The Five Love Languages. So I knew I wasn't going to be going for 8 weeks. but that's what these churches had done. But when he got to Philadelphia, he said, behold, I have nothing bad to say. But then he said, I have given. That word set me. I have given before thee an open door. Now that's a wonderful thing. Open door. See, the Bible talks about an open door a lot. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:19, he said, a great and effectual door have been opened to him to preach to the Gentiles. You know what? We need an open door to preach to some folks. See, some folks, we need God to open the door to preach to them. Oh, and then in Hosea 2:15, he said, a great open door of hope.
Yes.
We live in a world where folk are without
hope.
Yes. So many people around us are without hope.
Amen.
They have no hope. Their lives are in despair. They don't know how they're going to get through it.
Right.
See, the world gets you in a mess.
Yes.
But it won't show you how to get out. Listen, Acts 14:27 says, a great door of faith.
Yes, yes.
Oh, do we need faith? The Bible says, without faith,
it's
impossible to please God. Then Paul says in Colossians 4:3, he said, a great door of utterance. Sometimes we need a great door of utterance to speak the mysteries of God. We need God to open up doors for us. In this church, God has said, I have set before thee an open door. An open door. We have the freedom at this church to go out into the highways and byways and tell everybody about Jesus Christ. What a wonderful church. What a wonderful church. He says, and no man can shut it.
No man.
No man can shut it. If you stay with God's word, preaching God's word, no man can shut you up. Because see, their argument is eventually their argument is not with the pastor. See, they can argue with me. If I get over here, you can argue with me. The moment I put that wireless mic on and start walking around here, then you can argue with me. But as long as I stay in the book. No, I'm just a mailman now. I'm just delivering the mail. I didn't make the bill for you. You can't argue with the mailman for bringing you a bill. See, some of y'all get mad because I'm bringing the bill. That's what he said. Listen what he says. Listen, he's going to explain to them why he's opened this door. Pay attention, church, because we want our doors open. He said, and no man can shed it. Why? For thou hast a little strength.
Come on now.
Thou hast a little strength. See, anything not running will always store energy. Okay? But anything that's being used and out there will burn energy. And you will run on E doing ministry. How somebody know what I'm talking about? If you run around here energetic, you going to aerobics classes, and you got time to play golf and fish and do everything you want to do, you may be using your energy in the wrong places. How much energy you have, folks? I know there's folks in here with just a little strength. I've been preaching all week. I've been preaching all week on a little strength. That's all week. On a little strength. But see, God says that if you have the faith of a mustard seed, one of the smallest seeds known to man, you can move mountains. See, we want a lot of faith. We want a lot of strength. But we ought to just go to God. Just give me enough strength. Just give me enough strength to walk away from this. Just give me enough strength. Just give me enough strength to make it to church. Just give me enough strength so when I get down on my knees and pray for all those folks that are sick and shedding, give me enough strength to get up. We don't need a whole lot of strength. See, we serve a God of small things. He said, just give me a little strength. Listen to the second thing. Second reason God opened a door for them, and you wonder why doors ain't open for you. Listen, pay attention. He said, and thou hast kept my word. Listen, folks, I don't care what the world is doing. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today. Now, don't forget that word "and" in there. He said, and today. And how? Forever. So this ain't changing. See, I don't care what they're doing. See, you can have women in playing in the basketball, women garbage, collecting garbage, women cops, women firemen, women, but God's word ain't changing. I don't care what they saying on the south side. I don't care what they saying on the east side or the north side. It's you have to line up with the word of God. You go to the, you can go to Pastor Balaam. You can go to Pastor Ahab. You can go to Pastor Jezebel. But I don't care what they tell you, it needs to line up with the word of God. Take your experience. If God told you something, well, God called me. Line it up. Line it up with the word of God. If God told you to do something, he would have told somebody else. He says, I told you. Everything, all your righteousness needs to line up with the word of God. Keep his word. See, I don't care what they're doing in New York. See, I don't know what they're doing in New York. I don't care what they're doing in New York. They voted last night to approve same-sex marriage. It doesn't matter to me. I know what the word of God says. Let me share it with you. Let me share it with you. See, and last night in New York, and you got all the ball players and the president and everybody saying that, you know what, I believe they ought to have the same rights as everybody else. And that's fine. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:9, he said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, Michaela asked me on the way to church. She said, Aunt Cindy, is there going to be toilets in heaven? And Cindy said, I don't think so. And I said, Michaela, there ain't going to be no mess in heaven. You ain't gonna need no toilets in heaven. Because if you ain't gonna be full of junk, you're gonna be full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, let's not miss that. Let's not miss it. And such were some of you. Oh, I don't want to move because all of us came out of the mess. But if there's not a soul in here born saved, all of us came out of the muck in the mire. All of us was came from the gutter.
Come on now.
He said, such was some of you. But you've been washed. Oh, you when you wash something. You know, when you wash your clothes, you don't wash your dirty clothes and then throw them in with the other third dirty clothes. And he said, you've been washed, then you've been sanctified. That word sanctified means you've been separated. You've been set apart. Now you don't wash your underwear and then got another stack of dirty underwear. Take the clean ones and throw them back in with the dirty ones. No, you separate them. He said, but you've been separated. And then only that, then he says, but you've been justified. Just as if you've never sinned. Justified. Justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Oh, Acts 4:12 said there's none other name under heaven and earth whereby you can be saved. Jesus said himself in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but through me. Only one way to heaven. All roads don't lead to heaven. All roads don't lead to heaven. Let's look. We trying to see they had a little strength. And they kept my word. And thou hast not denied my name. See, back then they would test the saints of God. And they would cut their ears off, cut their fingers off if they didn't deny Jesus Christ. See, I'm not understanding why we deny the word of God like we do. Why we refuse to preach it and teach it. God has done so much. Why would we deny? Why would we deny? Look at verse 9. We're gonna move right through this. Have you denied his name? Have you denied his name? Have you denied his name? Think about that. What are some of the ways we can deny his name? This is what he says in verse 9. He said, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. What's the synagogue of Satan? There's only two churches. There's a true church and a false church. If the man of God is not preaching the word of God,
then it becomes
a synagogue.
Amen.
Of Satan. Which say they are Jews, which say they know the Lord. Now I know a whole lot of folks that say they know the Lord. Jesus even talked about it in Matthew 7:21. He said, In that day many gonna come to me saying, Lord, Lord, remember me. I've done a lot of work. I've done a lot of work. I did all my penances. I did all I was supposed to do. I took communion every Sunday. I never missed church. I was there every Sunday. I ran the sweeper. I put up the roof. I mean, I cut the grass, picked up any paper I seen in the yard. And God said, I never knew you. I never had a personal relationship with you. You never called me in the midnight hour. You never was intimate with me. See, Jesus wants us to be intimate. Are you intimate with him? Compare how much time you spend watching TV compared to praying and asking God to save a lost soul. And we all fall short.
Yes.
There's none righteous.
No, not one.
But when we put it all together and we say, when we compare the things in our lives that we love to the God that we say we love, you can do the math.
Yes.
Amen.
You do the math.
Come on.
But God says those are in the synagogue of Satan that say they are Christians, that say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Listen to what he said. Behold, I will make them come and worship before thy feet. You know what he's saying? He's going to bless the church that is faithful to his word, that has not denied him in such a marvelous way, that the churches that honor and worship Satan are going to come and say, I want what you have. I want what you have. I want what you have. What a wonderful thing to have the thought that a church would come and say, I want what you have. That was a church in First Thessalonians. They were an example to all the churches in the region. This church was an example. This was a small church. This wasn't a mega church. This was a small church. Because Jesus said they had little strength. Some churches, they got van ministries, TV ministries, the preacher hopping on jets and flying all over the world. Oh, that's what he said about Sardis. He said, oh, you say that you have a name, that you live it, but are dead. No strength. No strength, no power, just resources, just money. All the big shots go to these churches. Listen to what he says. He said, I will make them come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. And because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. You know what that means? Some of you have been to college. Some of you have been in high school. You ever done so well in a class that the teacher said, you can't improve your grade. You don't have to take the final, because the final really is not going to improve you or hurt you.
All right.
Ain't that a position to be in? Mike, you ever been in that position? Mike said, I had to take that final exam. But what God is saying here is that this church has will be exempt from the final testing. That's a heck of a thing. He said, because thou have kept the word of my patience. It pays to keep God's word. It's worth it for you to keep his word. You don't want to be tested if you don't have to be. Who wants to be tested? Who wants to be tried and tested by God? He said, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. What he said, thou hast kept the word under persecution. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. And some of us, we don't want afflictions. We don't want pain. We don't want sorrow. We don't want any adversity in our life. Oh, I have a great scripture. Oh, do I have a great scripture? Listen to Paul. Paul in Ephesians 3. This is just so wonderful.
Yes, sir.
You've got to put a highlighter on this if you don't have it already. Mark up them Bibles.
Yes,
you ain't going to need them when you get to heaven. Ain't no use having a wonderful Bible. write in that Bible. Put some ink on it. Somebody said a person with a Bible that's worn out is a sign of a person that's not worn out. This is Paul in 3:13. Talking about tribulation, because the folks are starting to feel sorry for Paul. They say, oh, Paul, you're going through so much. Look what Paul says in 13 of Acts, Ephesians chapter 3, 13. He said, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you. He said, my tribulations are for you. Why do you want to faint over my tribulations for you, which is your glory? Paul said, because of my tribulations, you're going to enter glory. He said, if you want to do anything, do this. Pray this prayer. Some of you need to want to know how to pray. Some of you have trouble praying. Look at Paul's prayer for these folks that was worried about him. Oh, you want to pray for the pastor? Here's the prayer. Here's the prayer. For this cause, Paul said, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named.
Yes.
That he would grant you.
Come on.
Oh, he make it personal. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory.
Come on. Yeah.
Oh, those that have little strength, listen, pray this prayer to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Oh, I'm not talking about Mr. Olympia. You take all kind of steroids and build the outer man up. No, we need some intestinal steroids. Build up the inner man. This is what he said. To be strengthened with might, with power.
Yes, sir.
By his spirit in the inner man.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll get you ready. See, when you need to have that inner man strong so you're ready to go. See, that'll give you that dying grace. That'll give you that dying grace, that suffering grace. He said to be strengthened in it with might in his spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts.
Come on.
By faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love.
Yeah.
That word rooted means that deep, man. Set them roots down deep. And then put some ground on top of it. And that's the ground of love. And then pat it all down.
Come on now.
Oh, some of y'all have planted some flowers. You just don't throw them in the ground. You want them roots as deep as you can get them.
Yeah.
And then you pat them down with love.
Yeah.
And you say, oh, I want to see some good tomatoes just fall.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. Mm-hmm. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Oh, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth,
the
length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ with passive knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Do you want to be filled with the fullness of God? Oh, this church was full. This church was full with the fullness of God. So full that God said, you're so full, you don't need to be tested.
Uh-huh.
And then wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
God tested all the churches and he come to Christian Bible Baptist and say, well, I didn't watch you guys. You guys are full of the Holy Spirit. You're a loving church. Every person I send to your church, you show them love and affection.
Come on,
and when you had to discipline, you disciplined.
Yeah.
When you had to do what you had to do, you did it.
Yeah.
You did it. And you did everything to the glory of God. Nobody was there patting each other on the back. You weren't lifting each other up. You weren't honoring one another. And all you eat, drink, and did, you did to the glory of God. That's the kind of church God is looking for. A church that glorifies him.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
This is what he said, verse 11. I'm just going to close. Behold, how many times behold in here? Pay attention. He said, pay attention for those who may not understand this. He said, I come quickly. Read the Vindicator. Read the Tribune. Folks been leaving. He says, hold that fast which thou hast that no man take thy crown. Now he's not talking about you're going to lose your salvation. He's giving a parallel to the earthly crowns of that day that they would give the Olympic runners and stuff crowns. And they gave a crown for third place. They gave a crown for second place. And they gave a crown for first place. You know, the first place guy in the middle and the second over here and the third over here. What Jesus is talking about, there's going to be rewards in heaven. There's going to be rewards in heaven. And you can have all the rewards you want. But as you live this Christian life and you start slipping and sliding and moving and folk come around and say, well, you know, you don't have to do it that way and do it that way. You're not losing your salvation, but you're losing rewards.
Yeah.
I want all the rewards God has for me. I want all my rewards. He said, don't let no man take that crown. With all this foolish teaching that's going on, don't get caught up in that. Name it and claim it, and you need to be healthy and wealthy. Listen, you can be healthy and wealthy, and you can name it and claim it, but Hebrews 9:27 said it is ordained
once
to live. And then the judgment. You can be healed 90 times. You leaving here and dying. Lazarus was raised from the dead and he's gone. So these guys, I'm going to heal you. He's still leaving here. Nobody leaves alive. Nobody's getting out of here alive. Him that overcometh. Him that overcometh. Some of y'all want some tattoos. I thought the tattoo verse was only in Deuteronomy. But I was reading this, I found the tattoo verse. See, some of us want to cover ourselves with tattoos and our kids. Mommy, give me a tattoo for my birthday. I see boys out through the joint got tattoos all over their forehead, all down their face, all over their neck. I won't hire you. You come in my shop, you got big holes in your ear and look like you got caught in a tackle box. Say, boy, you fell in my son's tackle box? Nah. Got hooks all in, you know. Bring new meaning to the OJ songs. You got your hooks in me. Y'all know I'm going to get what is, didn't y'all? Got hooks all in their mouth. Listen, wait on your tattoos, young people. He said, him that overcometh. Yeah, you want to, him that overcometh.
Yes.
Oh, I survived. I did what you called me to do. I'm an overcomer.
Come on, man.
I'm more than a conqueror.
Yes, more than a conqueror.
He said, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God? Back then, and they talking about Solomon's temple. Solomon had gold pillars that held up the temple. And when they tore down the temple, they took the pillars. Oh, when we get to heaven, he said, no. And shall no more grow. These temples that God is going to build in us, we're not going to move.
All right.
We're going to be unmovable. That's what he's saying. We're going to be unmovable pillars. And he shall go no more out.
No more out.
And I will put a tattoo upon him. That's what it says. He said, I will write upon him. That's the overcomer. The name of my God. And I see some of these boys, they got crosses on them. I'm going to put the name of my God on you. That talks about ownership. That talks about ownership. When they tattooed you back into slavery, that meant you belong to this person, to this family, to this plantation. And if they caught you outside of that plantation, they would drag you on
back.
Oh, we got it messed up. We got it messed up. Listen, he said, I'm gonna write my name upon him, the name of my God, which is the name of the city of God. The New Jerusalem. That's what you ought to have tattooed on you. The New Jerusalem. And then somebody said, What's all the tattoos you got on you? I got the name of my God on me.
Come on.
They ought to be able to see that without the tattoos.
Yes.
I belong to the Lord. Can't you see it? And say, I'm going to put the name of the New Jerusalem which cometh down out of heaven. Oh, the old Jerusalem, you don't want the old Jerusalem on you because it was tore up, burnt up, and right now you go to Jerusalem and they don't even honor because Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Jesus said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou art like a sheep without a shepherd. He says, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven, and I will write upon him my new name. We don't know what that new name is. We don't know what that new name is, but I believe that new name may mean he's an overcomer. He's a king of redemption. Victorious, that's another good name. Because God, in the person of Jesus Christ, was victorious. And when he stood on the cross on that
day,
he stood on the cross. And he said, "Father, it's finished. It's finished. I've done what you called me to do."
Come on.
He that have an ear. Do you have an ear today? He that have an ear. Hear what the Lord is saying. And that word hear means get some understanding of this. You're not going to fall into heaven. Everybody in heaven want to be there. I listened to a situation this week. And I hope this, I don't know how this is going to go over. I'm going to say it anyway. But a man came home after being out all night in a bar. And he started a barbecue. Fired up a grill. He set the house on fire. He started up a barbecue. He got in bed with a woman that was not his wife. The house caught on fire. Killed 4 babies. And I heard the pastor say, they're all in heaven now. Listen, folks, we serve a holy God. We serve a righteous God. And you take what you want to take from that situation. And I believe that children are going to heaven until they get to a certain age. There's an age of accountability. There's an age of innocence. And I believe all those children were at the age of innocence. But we need to really pay attention. One of those children was from Columbus. And as people of God, we would send our children to spend the night with folks that's shacking up and living in sin and drinking and cussing and whatever going on. We need to really, really, really pay attention to what we're doing with our young people. Everybody's not going to heaven. I don't care what these preachers say.
Yeah, right.
And you have an audience of 1,000 people. And I said this on one day last week I was teaching. You have an audience of 1,000 people. Many, many, many of them don't know the Lord. The book is closed on who's in these caskets.
Come on now.
You need to preach to them people. God has set a table. It is irresponsible for the man of God to say that all these folks are in heaven now. Because you send a message out to a dying world that I can continue to live like a fool and die any way I want to and go to heaven. That's irresponsible preaching. And I know that's painful. I'm going to share with a story from a preacher that I listen to a lot. And I use my mother as an example. And I know some people say, well, you know, you shouldn't. That's painful to talk like that. But I remember my mother. And she went to Dr. Perry. And she had cancer. And she didn't know. And she walked to Dr. Perry's office. And Dr. Perry said, "You have cancer. And it's really, really close to your liver." Dr. Perry ruined my mother's day. He ruined her week. He ruined her whole month. But if Dr. Perry would not have told my mother she had cancer, he would have deserved to lose his license. When a pastor refuses to tell you the truth, he ought to lose his license. He ought to lose his license. If one of you went to the old doctor and you said, "Doctor, I'm having really bad migraine headaches," and the doctor take an MRI or whatever they take for the head exam, and he looked in his room, read the report. I better not say nothing. I don't want to hurt his feelings. That's what a lot of preachers are doing. See, you got blood clots all through your body, and the pastor knows the diagnosis. It's sin. Well, people don't want to hear preaching on sin. They won't come back. You may hurt their feelings, and they go and die in their sins and go to hell. And then some people say, "Well, pastor, you preach so hard. I have no choice. I have no choice. We're dying, folks. Our loved ones are dying around us. We need to teach them and preach the truth. Because of my mother's cancer, my brother went and got checked out and found that he had cancer. And it was only half his colon had to come out. And he's living, he's happy, he's saved today. Because of Dr. Perry's honesty. And I remember going to my mother. I went to my mother, and she had been in the hospital. And all my brothers and sisters had been visiting her. And for whatever reason, they didn't say that, they didn't tell her what was going on. She asked them, "What's the doctor say?" And they all said, "Well, she's okay. You're going to be fine." And when I walked in the room, and my mother, maybe she just knew me like that. She called me Kip. Don't y'all start, because y'all don't know me like that. She said, "Kippy, what did the doctor say?" And I said, "Mom, Dr. Perry said you have 90 days to live." And that was the best news she heard. All right. You know what she told me? She said, "Kip, let me tell you something. I've done everything I wanted to do. I've traveled all over this country. I've worked at Packard all these years. God has been good to me." And she said, "God has given me 90 days to get my house in order."
Yeah. Thank you.
She was blessed.
Thank you.
Because God gave her 90 days. And you know, my mother lived 90 days and died right before my birthday.
Lord Jesus.
And I say, "Thank you, Lord, because I believe I will see my mother again." Because of a doctor who was faithful in telling the truth. Oh, we serve that kind of God, and he commands that from us. Deacons and ministers, all of us, we ought to be people of truth. And if I hurt your feeling in here, I don't know anyone to save without being confronted and convicted. Before you can be saved, you have to be convicted of the fact that you are a sinner on your way to a fiery hell. So I just thank God for giving me the passion and the love for you to tell you the truth. We need Jesus Christ. And I'm going to pray, and then Reverend Jones is going to come and
pray.
Reverend Jones is going to come and give the invitation. Amen. I thank God for you. I thank God for a church that loves to hear the preached word. Amen. Amen. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you, Father God, for all that you've done. Father God, we thank you for the little strength that you've given us. Father God, we thank you for giving us the ability not to deny you. We thank you for giving us the desire to want to hold fast the truth of your word. Father God, we thank you for giving us an uncompromising spirit. Oh, that we don't care about being big and we don't care about being large. Oh, we want to make an impact on the community. But Father God, we just want to make an impact on these folks that's here today. These young folks, Father God, as they leave here and go out into this crazy, mixed up world. Father God, we ask you to just give them a little strength.
Yes.
A little strength to say no to premarital sex.
Yes.
To say no to drugs and
yes.
alcohol.
Yes.
To say no to homosexuality and lesbianism.
Yes.
To say no. To say that I'm going to be a woman of God. And I'm going to be a man of God. And no man going to touch me until he says, I want to marry you and I want to make you my own. Father God, we pray right now for those that are here, Father God, that know you, that are struggling, that have issues and concerns in their life. Father God, give them a little strength. Give them a little strength, Father. Father God, we pray for marriages, my own marriage, and Reverend Jones and Napier and Deacon Nelms and Sister Clark and Claire. I mean, all the marriages in here. Father God, we need to see strong marriages in the church today. We need, our young people need to see marriages that are happy and joyful. It's a sad thing that so many people, young people, don't even want to get married. A young woman ought to want to be married. Ought to want to be pure and holy. And ought to want to save themselves for that special someone. Father God, I pray right now for our young people. These young women in here, Father God, they are in trouble, Father God. They're living in a mean world, Father God. So many of these young boys are having 9 and 10 babies and can't take care of any of them. Oh, Father God, give them discernment. Father God, give them wisdom from on high to say, I'm going to live for Christ. And I'm going to wait for God to send me a man. Or I'm going to wait for God to send me a wife for the young men. Father God, we pray for our vacation Bible school. It's been such a blessing. We can't wait till tomorrow, Father God, and we're going to open up these doors to the community, Father God, and to hear these young people screaming and shouting. They're screaming and shouting that they love Jesus Christ, so they want to get to know him. Keep our teachers excited and energetic. Give them a little strength, just enough to finish off this week. Bless them, Father God. Oh, we know that your word will not return void. Father God, we ask that you just continue to impact our community. Use this church in whatever way you want to, Father God, because we know you are a righteous God.
Yes. Yes.
And you won't call us to do anything that you're not going to bless, Father God.
Yes.
Bless our visitors today, Dunleavy's, Father God. Bless them in their coming and going, Father God. Father God, I ask all these things. Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for such a wonderful word sent straight out of heaven through our pastor.